The Burt Show.
So let's get to Darlene, who's a stay-at-home mom, which don't want to be very long. Hey, Darlene.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, you're on the voice disguiser, so nobody can recognize your voice.
Okay, great.
All right, so you're a stay-at-home mom now. How old is your child or children?
He is just a little over a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're a stay-at-home mom, but you're ready to get back to work. Why don't you give us your history, where you worked before, what's going through your head now?
Well, I actually never really got to work. I didn't finish my degree because I got married and I had a baby. And my husband is very traditional. He believes that there should be a stay-at-home parent, of course, a stay-at-home mom. And he wanted me to stay home and not work and, you know, have dinner ready on the table and have the house clean. Very traditional housewife. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I can do it, and I can't. I'm bored, and I'm losing friends, and I'm not social anymore.
Have you told him about this frustration?
I have, and he really doesn't want to discuss it any further. He believes in what he believes, and he's very old-fashioned, and I'm kind of rebelling.
So this is almost like your husband was seeking out, before you guys got married, he was seeking out a woman that was on the same page as he was as far as, like, staying home goes? I mean, this was, like, a really big deal to him?
Totally big deal. I mean, this is what he believes. I mean, this is what his mother did. So he, of course, wanted a woman. You know, all men want their mothers, they say. And there is that part of me that's just, it's not me. I thought that I could do it, but I really can't. And I'm kind of defying his orders, if you must.
Orders.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's important to point out that you agreed to this when you got married because, like you said, you thought you could do it. I'm just saying because
Melissa loves consistency here, and this is where you and I differ.
No, I think that there are going to be people that are going to be critical because I think when you get into a relationship and you marry somebody, then I think the conversation on whether you want children or not should already have taken place. You know, the money issue should already take place because some of these things are so hardcore that once you get into a relationship, you're not going to be able to change that person and their feelings, and it's hard to compromise on certain things. But she agreed to it and realized she can't do it.
There's another level to this that we'll get to in a second. And here's what I said about marriage, too, you know, from a guy that's been with the same woman for 16 years and married 13 now, is that you change so much in the course of the time that you're with each other that it is certainly possible to me that you marry a woman that believes this strongly in one thing, but then over the years, as she's changing, she becomes somebody else. And I think part of staying with each other for so long is having to change with that person.
Doesn't sound like he's willing to do that, though.
Well, you know what happened? He gave me a little bit of an inkling. He said maybe, you know, after he's a little older, maybe. So it kind of gave me this impression of, well, you know, maybe there is hope down the road.
Wow.
But for right now, you are at home with this child.
Now, there's another level to this also that you're almost thinking about taking a job without him knowing about it?
Yes, I actually took courses online, and I actually got my degree in the field that I started out in, and I actually got a job. I was offered a great job. I got my degree in December. I got a great job, and I start the job on Monday.
Oh, you've already
wow.
got it.
And so you just haven't told him?
I haven't told him, and I am going to put our son in daycare on on Thursday, mm-hmm. as a trial. I want to see how it goes Thursday and Friday before I actually start on Monday. And I have it all figured out. He doesn't get home until about 7:30. Mm-hmm. And I would get home about 5:30. Dinner would be all set.
Brilliant. I think it's great because awful. One thing you can count on is Atlanta traffic.
Danielle, good morning. You're on Q100. Hello.
Hey,
I just wanted to say I think Darlene's really privileged to have the opportunity to stay home from work with her children or child. And I think that, or it's proven that ages 0 to 5 are so important for a child's cognitive development. If she can stay home with her child, even for just one more year, well, he'll be...
It's not what she wants to do. It's not what she wants to do.
And I think producer Tracy made a great point yesterday. We talked about this because producer Tracy was talking about how she struggles being a working mom because she has an inner desire to be a stay-at-home mom. And her point was, look, as a woman, you got to figure out what's best for you. And by doing that, it's better for the child. So if you're home miserable as a stay-at-home mom, how is that going to help the child?
Darlene, what would happen... No. See, I've known guys like this, too. I'm going to sort of argue out of both sides of my mouth because, as I just said to Melissa, you know, when you're in a relationship for a long time, people change. And they evolve so much that I think in strong relationships, those are the ones where people can evolve with each other and accept change. But I also, on the other hand, know guys that this is such a hot issue with that they feel that if the child is not with mom at home in those formidable years, that you're scarring their children. That you're hurting their children, and they're so focused on it that Darlene's husband here may be one of those guys where he feels like it's almost abusive not to be at home.
See, and I'm so fascinated by that because I'm fascinated by men like that where it's not a matter of them being home with their kid. It's the mom being home with the kid. You know what I'm saying? Like for her to so 1950s have to be home and have dinner on the table for him and make sure everything's done when he gets home. It just, you know, it's fascinating to me how men's minds work that they're not thinking about all that entails and they're not picking up, you know, some of the slack for
it. Would that be an option for you, Darlene? Would he stay home while you went to work?
No way.
Not a chance.
No way.
Yeah. All right, here's Brian. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Hey. What's up?
I actually think that if she can actually get a job where she goes and comes home before he gets home and still has the housely duties and the food on the table, that he shouldn't ever have a problem with it. You know, she should be actually get out and do what she wants to do with her life.
Even if she can't do her wifely duties, like, you still shouldn't have a problem with it because they should be able to find a compromise. Like, if you're considering wifely duty, you know, whatever, preparing dinner every night, then they can find a trade-off. You know, she does Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He does Tuesday, Thursday, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they hire a housekeeper with the money that she's going to be making.
Yeah, it's not the point that she can't work. The point is that he wants her in the house all the time to raise their children.
I love wifely duties.
Yeah, I don't agree. Awesome. I never agree with you doing something behind your partner's back and having a whole different life that they don't know about. But he also is being inflexible. So I do, I mean... for this to work, there has to be a compromise. I agree with Jeff. Like, you know, you have to have a serious conversation with him, and he's not your father. He's your husband.
You got to think about the day, Darlene, that he walks in the door and finds out that you've been working and your child has been in daycare and how angry and hurt he is going to be by you really living this other life that he had no idea about. What a breach of trust.
But she's only doing it for a couple weeks, right?
Right.
Well, and how sad. They just have what's out of a relationship that y'all just are at such an impasse that you can't even communicate.
And what are you planning to do with the extra money? I'm just wondering where the money you're making, where's that going, in your own bank account or his?
Oh, for him not to notice
it? Because he's going to notice a big money change.
Well, I have my own account, and I thought that it would be for our son's education. And
so separate.
Well, I will eventually tell him, and it's not that I'm enjoying doing this behind his back, but it was almost a challenge to me to see if I can actually do it and pull it off and then say, you know, and then tell him that I have been able to pull this off and I have been doing this.
Like, to prove to him that it, I don't know.
That's
I don't
too much stress.
So,
and if he's that old traditional kind of mentality, too, he is going to take that as such a swipe at his ego.
And when you're starting a new job, you want to put in a lot of extra hours and extra effort, and you're going to need the support of your spouse to do that. You know what I mean? You're going to come home tired.
Like, what are you going to do when you have a bad day at work? Like, who do you...
Right.
I'm so tired. Yeah.
Okay, let's switch, you know, because we always talk about being fair, you know, to both genders, and it's like, well, if you switch the roles and the woman is being so demanding of her man to the point that it's making him crazy and he wants to leave, she'd be this bitchy woman. But, I mean, I just feel like... Are we, you know, he to me sounds the same. He's being so demanding and so like uncompromising that it's driving her away from the marriage. And, you know, I think that that, you know, how do we get him to be, you know, like for a guy and a guy's mentality, how do you get him to be more flexible and save his own marriage?
I don't know.
Instead of it being all on her.
What was that thing that Chili said when she was in here about guys and women? The analogy was something like, it was something about guys get into relationships
to keep it the same and women get in it to change them.
Yeah. Change them.
She said it more eloquently, and she's a lot hotter than you, but it was
close.
It was close.
Hey, Trina, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, my fear with her is if she does this behind his back, if he feels so strongly about it, that when he does find out about it, he's going to be so hurt, and he will end up divorcing her.
Yeah, this is going to be a real shot. A real shot for him on a couple of different levels.
I don't agree with what she's doing. I just don't understand how you cannot have a conversation. I find it sad when you cannot be in a relationship with somebody you can talk to. I just find that tragic.
It's hard. Yeah, yeah. She's not happy in any one of these aspects.
Yeah, I feel like you guys could come up with some sort of compromise.
This thing is going to blow up big time. Darlene, we got to check.
Part-time work? Yeah. I don't know.
We got to check back with you next week to see if you took the job.
You're fun. You're our new pet.
I would suggest you got to have that blowout this weekend because it's going to be ugly. I'm telling you, if he's dug in this deep for so long, this is going to be a really uncomfortable situation. But it's not going to be nearly as uncomfortable as the situation you're going to have with him if he finds out after you take the job and you go to work.
I think the marriage is in trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
You have big-time communication problems.
I'm going to take all of this into consideration. I will probably have a talk with him this weekend. I probably should.
Yeah.
How about tonight?
Yeah, why wait? All right. Darlene, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm hoping that when she says, look, I got my degree behind your back. I got this job behind your back. I felt forced to do this behind your back because you will not compromise. I mean, I don't know.
That's going to be a bomb.
I just cannot believe what year is he living in.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Right now we're spending some time with Darlene here.
Yeah, Darlene has called us, and she says that she wants to go back to work. She's been staying home with her baby for the last year. She's ready to go back to work. Just being a stay-at-home mom isn't for her, which is probably something a lot of women have gone through, but her husband is absolutely against it, and they sort of made this arrangement that she was going to stay home before they had the kid.
Now she wants to get a job without him finding out about it.
She already got a job.
She got a job. She's supposed to start on Monday. Mm-hmm. So she's going to have this whole hectic schedule. Think she's going to be able to pull this off where she goes to work, drops the child off at daycare. Husband doesn't know anything about it because they'll be back in the house before hubby gets home.
It's not just back in the house. I mean, he expects dinner on the table when he gets home from work.
Come on, that can't work. Danielle, good morning. You are on Q100. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to say I think Darlene's really privileged to have the opportunity to stay home from work with her children or child. And I think that, or it's proven that ages 0 to 5 are so important for a child's cognitive development. If she can stay home with her child, even for just one more year, well, he'll be.
It's not what she wants to do. It's not what she wants to do.
And I think producer Tracy made a great point yesterday. We talked about this because producer Tracy was talking about how she struggles being a working mom because she has an inner desire to be a stay-at-home mom. And her point was, look, as a woman, you got to figure out what's best for you. And by doing that, it's better for the child. So if you're home miserable as a stay-at-home mom, how is that going to help the child?
Darlene, what would happen? No. See, I've known guys like this, too. I'm going to sort of argue out of both sides of my mouth because, as I just said to Melissa, you know, when you're in a relationship for a long time, people change. And they evolve so much that I think in strong relationships, those are the ones where people can evolve with each other and accept change. But I also, on the other hand, know guys that this is such a hot issue with that they feel that if the child is not with mom at home in those formidable years, that you're scarring their children. That you're hurting their children, and they're so focused on it that Darlene's husband here may be one of those guys where he feels like it's almost abusive not to be at home.
See, and I'm so fascinated by that because I'm fascinated by men like that where it's not a matter of them being home with their kid. It's the mom being home with the kid. You know what I'm saying? Like for her to so 1950s have to be home and have dinner on the table for him and make sure everything's done when he gets home. It just, you know, it's fascinating to me how men's minds work that they're not thinking about all that entails and they're not picking up, you know, some of the slack for
it. Would that be an option for you, Darlene? Would he stay home while you went to work?
No way.
Not a chance.
No way.
Yeah. All right, here's Brian. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Hey. What's up?
I actually think that if she can actually get a job where she goes and comes home before he gets home and still has the housely duties and the food on the table, that he shouldn't ever have a problem with it. You know, she should be actually get out and do what she wants to do with her life.
Even if she can't do her wifely duties, like, you still shouldn't have a problem with it because they should be able to find a compromise. Like, if you're considering wifely duty, you know, whatever, preparing dinner every night, then they can find a trade-off. You know, she does Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he does Tuesday, Thursday, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they hire a housekeeper with the money that she's going to be making.
Yeah, it's not the point that she can't work. The point is that he wants her in the house all the time to raise their children.
I love wifely duties.
Yeah, I don't agree. Awesome. I never agree with you doing something behind your partner's back and having a whole different life that they don't know about. But he also is being inflexible. So I do. I mean, for this to work, there has to be a compromise. I agree with Jeff. Like, you know, you have to have a serious conversation with him, and he's not your father. He's your husband.
You got to think about the day, Darlene, that he walks in the door and finds out that you've been working and your child has been in daycare, and how angry and hurt he is going to be by you really living this other life that he had no idea about. What a breach of trust.
But she's
that
only
is.
Doing it for a couple of weeks, right?
Right.
Right. Well, and how sad. They just have so much out of a relationship that y'all just are at such an impasse that you can't even communicate.
And what are you planning to do with the extra money? I'm just wondering where the money you're making, where's that going, in your own bank account or his?
Oh, for him not to notice it? Because
he's going to notice a big money change.
Well, I have my own account, and I thought that it would be for our son's education. And then
so separate.
Well, I will eventually tell him, and it's not that I'm enjoying doing this behind his back, but it was almost a challenge to me to see if I can actually do it and pull it off, and then say, you know, tell him that I have been able to pull this off and I have been doing this.
Like, to prove to him that it, I don't know.
That's too much stress. So,
and if he's that old traditional kind of mentality too, he is going to take that as such a swipe at his ego.
And when you're starting a new job, you want to put in a lot of extra hours and extra effort, and you're going to need the support of your spouse to do that. You know what I mean? You're going to come home tired.
Like, what are you going to do when you have a bad day at work? Like, who do you...
Right.
I'm so tired. Yeah. Hey, Davis, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, man?
I think this is part of what's just wrong across the board with our society. Nobody commits or keeps to a commitment once we make a commitment. She made a covenant with her husband that she was going to go ahead and be a stay-at-home mother. Stick with that. In 17 years, the kid will be 18. Pack your little briefcase and go to work. But until then, you know, you're deceiving the child and your husband by going and lying and saying you're going to work.
I just can't agree with this kind of mentality right here, man, that you make a decision and that's it for the rest of our lives. There is no change.
No, not for the rest of your life until the kid is 18.
18 years old, man.
That's ridiculous. How about you don't change your mind for 18 years?
She's supposed to be miserable?
No, look, my wife works. I am entirely with a woman working. That's totally cool. But my mother did the same thing. Didn't want to work, wanted to work, went to work against my father's wishes, and things happened to me in daycare. She could never return. So I say, if that's the way it was supposed to be, stick to it.
That guy's voice was so deep, I thought he was on The Voice Disguiser.
I just find that, okay, let's switch, you know, because we always talk about being fair, you know, to both genders. And it's like, well, if you switch the roles and the woman is being so demanding of her man to the point that it's making him crazy and he wants to leave, she'd be this bitchy woman. But, I mean, I just feel like, are we, you know, he to me sounds the same. He's being so demanding and so, like, uncompromising that it's driving her away from the marriage. And, you know, I think that, you know, how do we get him to be, you know, like for a guy and a guy's mentality, how do you get him to be more flexible and save his own marriage?
I don't know.
Instead of it being all on her.
What was that thing that Chili said when she was in here about guys and women? The analogy was something like, it was something about guys get in relationships
to keep it the same and women get in it to change them.
Yeah. Change them.
She said it more eloquently, and she's a lot hotter than you, but it was close.
Right.
It was close.
Hey, Trina, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I am actually a single mother, and I work. But if I had the option to stay at home, I would. My fear with her is if she does this behind his back,
if he feels so strongly about it, that when he does find out about it, he's going to be so hurt, and he will end up divorcing her.
Yeah, this is going to be a real shot, for him on a couple of different levels.
I don't agree with what she's doing. I just don't understand how you cannot have a conversation. I find it sad when you cannot be in a relationship with somebody you can talk to. I just find that tragic.
It's hard. Sometimes these are hard, man. Hey, Jackie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, she needs to quit hiding and let him know. You know, this is a year 2000. Come on now. She can work.
Oh, 2010. I mean, you know, whatever.
If she doesn't like it, too bad.
This
is not her father. This is her husband. This is a 50-50 relationship. He does not pull the strings. And she made the comment that she's losing her friends. So what is he doing? Sequestering her in the house where she doesn't even have friends?
Yeah, she's not happy in any one of these aspects.
Yeah, I feel like you guys could come up with some sort of compromise.
This thing is going to blow up big time. Darlene, we got to check.
Work? Yes. I don't know.
We got to check back with you next week to see if you took the job. Or
you're fun. You're our new pet.
I would suggest you got to have that blowout this weekend because it's going to be ugly. I'm telling you this. If he's dug in this deep for so long, this is going to be a really uncomfortable situation, but it's not going to be nearly as uncomfortable as the situation you're going to have with him if he finds out after you take the job and you go to work.
I think the marriage is in trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
You have big-time communication problems.
I'm going to take all of this into consideration. I will probably have a talk with him this weekend. I probably should.
Yeah.
How about tonight?
Yeah, why wait? All right. Darlene, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm hoping that when she says, look, I got my degree behind your back. I got this job behind your back. I felt forced to do this behind your back because you will not compromise. I mean, I don't know.
That's going to be a bomb.
I just cannot believe what year is he living in.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Okay, so Melissa just told us that the terrorist threat in New York, the chief suspect, is from Pakistan.
He's a U.S. citizen.
From Pakistan. And Jeff, we threw around the words Middle East, and we got a couple of calls saying that those are two different regions. And according to online, the Middle East, just so we can get past this question, is a region that encompasses southwestern Asia and Egypt. It's some context. The term has recently been expanded in usage to sometimes include Afghanistan and Pakistan. So for those that were calling up saying it's not part of that region, yes and no.
Well, and I mean, when we have the conversation, I've had friends from Asia that have been, they feel profiled too, you know, just because they have darker
Southwestern
skin.
Southwestern Asian,
Well, a friend from Nepal had issues in his life just because of his skin.
So I was asking the question, you know, because Jeff was concerned about racial profiling. Obviously, it is a problem in this country, and every time another suspect comes out that appears to have Middle East roots, then you tend to look at Middle Easterners differently. And I've never talked to anybody. I know it's out there. I've seen the news reports that sort of feels like they're stared at if they're from that region every single day, and just like everybody around them is on high alert.
Mm-hmm.
We got plenty of calls this morning. Here's Jamie. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi, good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, my father is actually from Puerto Rico, and he's been pulled over several times by police officers. And when they see the name on his driver's license, they automatically ask him for his green card. But he's a citizen, and he was born a citizen, and he understands the reason behind racial profiling. We do have to keep this country safe. However, he wants people to understand that just because you're Hispanic doesn't make you illegal.
Mm-hmm. I think that a skin tone, because there's so many regions where the skin tone is similar, and I do think that there's there's people who discriminate against.
Do you think it's worse in smaller towns and smaller cities?
Yes,
where the ignorance level is higher. They're not going to racially
profile as much in New York City because everybody's from everywhere. It really is like a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in Atlanta, at Hartsfield, they're going to racially profile more.
Sure, like Phoenix, I'm sure it won't happen at all.
Right? Yes. Arizona, they don't think like that.
Exactly. The whole of Arizona. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if it's something is more overt in small towns, because I certainly don't think that major cities are as, I don't know. I think there are still a lot of prejudiced people in larger cities.
Yasmina, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am from South Carolina, but I am a Muslim woman who wears a veil and covers all of that. So I am the picture of what you see on the news, except I don't wear all black usually.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that I have gone through because I wear a veil, or even when I don't wear my veil, they're amazing. I'm speaking perfectly clear English. I'm more articulate than quite a few of the people that I know, yet they tell me to go back to my own country. Mm-hmm. Like, well, can you tell by my accent? Like, even Bert could tell by my accent where I'm from. And it's, I've been strip searched at the airport. I've been questioned. I've been investigated by the FBI. I've been just all kinds of stuff, and it's really unnecessary. And if you would just have a conversation with me, you would see that I don't hate America. I love being American. I love my passport. I come from a military family. I have certain issues with our government, but who that pays attention doesn't have issues with or disagree with certain things that our government may do? That's part of being in a democracy and having free mind and, you know, the ability to think freely and freedom of speech. So, of course, I don't agree with everything about the United States, but nobody does.
Now, can you at least acknowledge, given the way that you dress, not saying that that's, you're not allowed to dress that way, but given the way that you dress and given the history of attacks on this country since even before 9/11, can you understand why people look at you more closely? I'm not justifying their rude comments and go back to your country, and regardless of how you speak and your accent, can't you tell?
Just starting to establish some understanding between.
Yeah. Can you at least understand why you would raise more of a flag than like Melissa walking through the airport in jeans and a t-shirt?
To a certain extent, but at the same time, there's such a target fixation on Muslims. Like, I've gone to see people, visit people in prison, and they focus so much on me because I have on a scarf and a veil that there are other people who will come in behind me with all kinds of stuff that they start pulling out in the bathroom that they're getting away with because they target fixate on me so much. But, I mean, I understand to a certain extent. It's just like, especially considering the way that I dress, if I'm ever in the country in South Carolina where my aunt and uncle live, I'm kind of apprehensive around, you know, the white men, because I don't know who's the KKK member and who's not. So I understand there being an apprehensiveness. I don't understand the rudeness, and I don't understand the automatic conclusion. I can understand a little bit of suspiciousness, because that's normal.
Well,
you know, we all have to protect, and especially if it's something that you've never seen before. But don't come to me telling me to go back to where I came from to fight for what I want over there, when, first of all, I have the right to freedom of religion right here in these lovely United States. And secondly, I'm from the United States. Don't approach me with that kind of an attitude. Just come and ask questions. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. Even if they come across rude, if they're well-intended, and it's not just go back where you came from.
I understand what you're saying about the rudeness part of it. But a friend of mine was just traveling internationally. She was in Bangladesh and then also in Dubai, and they won't let women travel anymore with veils in airports because there are just as many female terrorists as there are male. And when women are covered, there's more suspicion, not just in the United States, but around the world. So they were making women uncover even in Bangladesh, where a lot of women are covered. She had to go covered to function and do business there. She had to have basically everything covered. But in the airports, they got to all take it off. So I think it's interesting that it's not just here. It's everywhere else.
Here is Sarah, and she wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Sarah.
Hey. Just want to say love you guys, first of all.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm also from the Muslim descent, and I wear a veil. Mm-hmm. And just the way that people look at me or comment things, and I'm actually a fifth grade school teacher for the Cobb County School District, and when I say stuff like that, they're just very surprised, or people will be surprised saying, oh, wow, you speak English. You don't have an accent at all. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I was born and raised in this country, and I mean, I love this country just as much as the next person. And it's just the stuff that people say and the way that they automatically assume that you're part of these terrorist organizations or you don't support this country. It's just, it gets to be very frustrating at times. And I guess the reason why I wanted to call is just so that everyone would realize that, you know, give us a chance too, that we are American citizens and, you know, we love this country just as much.
This is essentially at the root of terrorism. I mean, terrorism works when you are afraid, when you live with fear. So basically what we're talking about is sort of in some ways a small win, you know? Here is Susie. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi, Bert. Yes, I was calling because my husband is of Indian descent, and we fly twice a year from Hartford to California. My son, who is his stepson, is multicultural. He's black and I'm Mexican. Because of our last name being Chandrajit and my son's first name being Isaiah, since he was 4 years old, he has been pulled to the side every time we go through Hartford and searched.
The
first 3 years, it was very frightening for my son. But he doesn't get pulled to the side when we fly back from California. It's just when we're leaving up from Hartford.
Really?
Hartsfield? Yes. Atlanta?
Hartsfield?
Are you talking about leaving Atlanta?
Hartford, yes. Connecticut? Hartsfield. Yes.
Hartsfield.
Hartsfield.
Yes. Yes, leaving Atlanta, flying to California, since he was 4 years old, every single time, twice a year, he's pulled to the side, taken into a room, and completely searched. And he's 12, and it's still happening at least twice a year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's the point that Jeff is trying to make also is that this is something that we unfortunately have to live with right now.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't right, but it's understandable,
yeah.
Right? Is that what...
Well, I mean, have to not give in to so much fear. I mean, I think Jeff's point is that, you know, I don't know. Because I just think about how generational it is, too. Because I remember my dad and I having a huge conversation back a long time ago in the news. There was a Japanese fishing boat that was...
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty much broken apart by a U.S. submarine that had submerged. And... my father, who had fought in the, you know, Korean War and, you know, people from that area of Asia, he had a prejudice against because he fought them in war, you know, and it was hard for him to get over that. But, I mean, now we think of people from Japan, we don't think we hate them.
Not at all.
So I just think that, you know, we also have to understand that this is the phase we're going through and this is what our generation's going through and that someday we'll have to get past it, you know.
Hey, The Bird Show. The Bird Show.
All right, Jen Hobby, I'm a brand new listener. I don't know how this all or nothing thing works. What's up?
Well, you got to call up with five guesses because there are five answers to this trivia question. So you got to have five guesses, and Bert's going to tell you how many you get right and how many you get wrong, but not which ones. A pattern will develop over time. Once you get all five of them correct, then you win the prize, and we add a new prize to the hat every single day.
Are we on day three or day four of this?
Day three.
Three. So you got Spa Sedell, Green Day at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and $50 to Fado. Okay? And the question is, these five guys are generally really known to suck in bed in Hollywood. I mean, these are celebrities, but they are bad, bad, bad in bed. Good morning, Lynn. You are on Q100. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
What's going on?
Good morning.
Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Bring it.
Brody Jenner, 50, Colin Farrell, Mick Jagger, Russell Brand.
You got four.
Oh, then I know the
rules. Well, don't do that.
Come on.
Can't do that, you cheater.
The hell's wrong with you?
Cheater.
We'll find you through the phone lines and take you out.
Good morning.
Okay.
Who is this? Good morning.
Phone rage. Email rage.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
Hello.
Ileana,
go for it.
Okay, I have Russell Brand, Brody Jenner, Colin Farrell, Jesse James, and Stuart Townsend.
You got four. Good day.
Okay.
Good day.
Cheerio.
I think we're going to be done with this today. Hey, Jody, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Okay. And yourself?
I am doing wonderful. I had a pullover, so I'm not driving and talking at the same time.
Good for you.
Oprah would be proud.
So happy.
Not talking and driving!
Okay, you ready?
Bring it on.
Okay. 50 Cent, Russell Brand, Brody Jenner, Colin Farrell, and Tiger Woods.
You got four correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for pulling over.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, good morning. You are on Q100.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The five I have are Brody Jenner, Russell Brand, Stuart Townsend, Colin Farrell, and Justin Long.
You got three right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Had you said Justin Bieber, we'd be talking a different number.
Ew.
And one more. Good morning, Lynn. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
You're going to do this. You're going to do this.
I hope so. I've got Brody Jenner, Jay Leno, Orlando Bloom, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jude Law.
You are not going to do this. That was one correct.
Oh, we went back.
Okay.
It's the note. That's the note you're going to end on?
That's it. That's all I have. There's nothing else lined up right now. Bye, Lynn.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's my
That's not my fault you got them wrong.
Okay, thanks, Bert.
Call back tomorrow. Try to be smarter.
Loser.
Whatever.
But you're on the list.
God, why do you have to be such a jerk?
It's not my fault you got them wrong.
God, all right, so the way you said just one right. Attitude.
I hate this show.
I'm going to go listen to the B.I.
Get it. The Bert Show.